Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the foggy Missouri Ozarks, greetings and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, January 15th, 2017.
We won't even restart this.
No,
we'll just let everybody realize that we're not perfect. We're not even sure what year it is, much less the month.
I'm pretty sure that I am Derek Gilbert.
Let me check. Oh, yeah. Sam's really going to throw up.
I know, that's for sure.
I don't want to get TMI.
I can't unhear this.
Well,
welcome to our Old Testament study for today.
You're cute.
Well, so are you. And she is Sharon Gilbert, in case you were wondering.
I am indeed.
Yes.
So far.
It is a rainy and foggy day here. We're on the southern end of the storm, Winter Storm Jupiter.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes. It's a big deal. If you watch the weather channels, you're getting all kinds of updates. And this afternoon is supposed to be the big football game between Kansas City, the Chiefs, and Pittsburgh Steelers up in Kansas City. And they're expecting...
Sound like a good day to be out there.
No, half an inch of ice or more. And so we're thankful that we are below the temperature gradient, if you will.
Above, actually.
We're above, right, yeah. I was thinking below in terms of south. But you're right, we're above the temperature gradient where it's freezing, so it's just kind of a
That's gray. Good science.
That right there.
There's your science for you.
And you see, Sci Sunday. So here it's just foggy and wet
where we
and
just
kind of miserable.
Sit around and sigh all day.
Yeah. And watch Uncle Cy from Duck Dynasty, Psychology. It is just outside, kind of a gray and rainy day. But here inside, it's warm, and we hope you are the same. Pull up a cup of coffee. Have yourself a chair. Oh, my.
Oh, we need some coffee.
It is not yet the third hour. So.
Aren't you glad you don't do a live
hour.
Show?
Yeah.
But we're doing this live to digital file, so you get to enjoy all
the folly.
Many, yeah.
So anyway, we get back into some of the history, and speaking of folly, we get into some immediately following the death of Solomon. Because we're jumping right into that. Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And then, of course, for all of his renown, Solomon really doesn't get a whole lot of time in the scriptures.
No, that's true. He doesn't. But...
A couple of very well-known stories. But then suddenly it's like, okay, Queen of Sheba came to visit, and then Solomon got old, worshipped idols, and died. And that's kind of how it is.
Well, for the most part, the Bible is very good about putting in the painting the figures, warts and all. But I suspect that if the information was left out, it's not because something happened that the Lord said, oh, don't want that out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it had nothing that concerns
important.
Us.
Right. And the stuff that's in there. And I like the way Mike Heiser puts it. There's our Heiser reference of the day.
Ding, 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 ding.
If it's weird, it's important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we will have it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to him coming to visit us here in the Ozarks this week. He'll be here Thursday evening through Saturday when he flies back. But Friday, we'll be with him for just about all day, recording some programs on his new book and my new book, which are coming out at the same time. No pressure, Gilbert. Write something that's at Heiser's level.
No, I have to say, though, seriously, I mean, you wrote a wonderful book.
Well, thank you. Coming from you, I take that as high praise. So, but it builds on Mike's work and his research into the divine counsel and the supernatural worldview that we have to kind of put on as we read the Bible. And we should have it on all the time. Not that we're looking for a demon behind every bush, but we understand that we should understand that we're in a supernatural war.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned this morning, all too often we Christians are, virtually stumbling around on the battlefield blindfolded, pretending that the enemy's not there.
Exactly. And as we also mentioned this morning, we are in a spiritual Truman Show. We are being watched.
Yes.
Yes. Many of the things that happen now are not just for our benefit. they're also to teach the angels.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and someday we will judge them, which is another really fascinating thing. Well, before we begin, we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together again for this study of your word. And Lord, as we read the history of your people Israel and the divisiveness, the division that was caused by Solomon failing to live up to the very simple instructions that you gave. He was drawn away by his desire for other women and for the gods that they served. And Lord, we know that those gods are real. They are not your equal. They are not capital G God, but they are real. And they have been lying to humanity since the dawn of creation. Father, we pray that you'll grant us wisdom and discernment so that when we encounter their falsehoods, their lies, their half-truths, their deceptions and distractions, that you will grant us the wisdom to see them for what they are and to follow your straight and narrow path. Lord, help us to learn from the mistakes of those who came before. And Lord, when we stumble and fall, as we will each day, help us to recognize our sin and to come before you, Lord, to confess it and ask your forgiveness. For we know, Lord, that your loving kindness is boundless. And if we come to you and truly repent, that you will never forsake us. Lord, grant us wisdom as we study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So again, David passes on. Solomon gets 40 years on the throne, just as his father did. And lo and behold, didn't take long before the kingdom splits in two. 1 Kings, beginning at chapter 12. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Go away for 3 days, and then come again to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him.
The young men who spent most of their time watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and playing video games.
Yeah.
And he said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus shall you speak to this people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" And you just, you know, read into that and you're thinking,
yeah,
what a dope. But this was ordained by God, and this had to happen this way.
Now, mind you, the word translated thighs in the ESV, which is the version that we use all the time, means loins.
Okay. Okay. So this was kind of a euphemism.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
Thank you to the Bible translators for making that just a little more family friendly. So he was not only, yeah, okay.
Again, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yeah. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. As you remember last week, this was prophesied.
Just looking at the word scorpions and
oh, okay. You know what? I skipped down to the scorpion second time. Let me go back to verse 12. Yeah, I skipped a whole paragraph. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day. As the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people harshly. And forsaking the counsel that the old men had given him, he spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord, that he might fulfill his word which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel! Look now to your own house, David." So Israel went to their tents. Basically, the other tribes saying, okay, you're going to be king of Judah, but the rest of us, we're going to follow Jeroboam.
We're going to shun you.
But Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel, who lived in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death with stones. Apparently the king wasn't really listening. And King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now, this is clearly written in the still in the days of the divided kingdom. And when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was there with Judah. 180,000 chosen warriors to fight against the house of Israel, to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God. "Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives, the people of Israel. Every man return to his home, for this thing is from me." So they listened to the word of the Lord. Good, would have been a disaster otherwise, and went home again according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim. Built it up, actually. Shechem was where he was crowned. He may have fortified the city, then take it as his royal city, and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem..." And remember, the Lord, the temple of Yahweh, we're talking about, you know, Yahweh. "Then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. The golden calves again.
Yeah, two of them.
And he said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Where we heard that before? Oh, yeah. Foot of Mount Sinai.
Oh, yeah. Dathan.
And a lot of people, where's your Messiah now? And ground swallowed up a lot of them that day, too. There are some scholars who will say that because of this line echoing what happened there, that they conclude that the earlier account of Aaron and the golden calf was written sometime long after the time of David. I don't buy it.
No, I don't buy it either. I don't know why one has to follow the other.
It's scholars being scholars, you know. It's like the same kind. I was looking at some papers earlier today where they were saying, "Oh yeah, okay, these gods of Egypt and or the gods of Greece and so forth were the models on which the writers of the Bible based the characters of some of the patriarchs."
I see. You've fallen for the lie.
Exactly. Well, that's why they're not Bible scholars. They're just, you know, scholars of ancient literature.
Well, sadly, there are Bible scholars who also fall for the lie.
Some do, right. They just they analyze it as literature and not as an actual history. He said, "Behold your gods, O Israel, who have brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put at Dan. Now, Bethel was where Jacob had put that little pillar of rocks where he saw the Jacob's ladder, the gateway into heaven. Dan is on the northern border. So Bethel was on the southern border with Judah. Dan was on the northern border between Israel and Phoenicia, the kingdom of Tyre and Sidon. It's also not coincidentally at the foot of Mount Hermon, and only a couple of miles away from the Grotto of Pan. Yeah, which was known basically as the gates of hell. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. Big.
Oh, yeah.
Big mistake. Reference to the Mystery Men film there for you. Appointing the Levites were the only ones qualified to be priests. And so just appointing Jeroboam was basically doing everything he could to cut all ties to Jerusalem and to the temple of Yahweh.
He created his own cult.
He did. And Jeroboam appointed a feast day on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and he offered sacrifices on the altar. He wasn't qualified to do this either. He was breaking all kinds of capital L laws here. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart, not from the command of the Lord. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings.
Chapter 13. And behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord Yahweh to Bethel. Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make offerings. And the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make offerings on you, and the human bones shall be burned on you.
Now, Josiah was known as the last righteous king of Judah. He reigned about 300 years from the time of Jeroboam and Rehoboam, around 640 B.C.
And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign that the Lord Yahweh has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. And when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar at Bethel, Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, Seize him! And his hand, which he stretched out against him, dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was torn down, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign that the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. There's an immediate fulfillment, a sign that what he said was true.
Right.
And then they knew that somewhere down the road, Josiah would be born.
Right.
And the king said to the man of God, Entreat now the favor of the Lord your God and pray.
Your God.
Yeah. And pray for me that my hand may be restored to me.
I was going to order your execution, but now.
Now, little whiner boy. Mm-hmm. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, If you give me half your house, I will not go in with you, and I will not eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was it commanded me by the word of the Lord Yahweh, saying, You shall neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way that you came. In other words, they're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet lived in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told to their father the words that he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, Which way did he go? And his sons showed him the way that the man of God who came from Judah had gone. And so he said to his sons, Saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Now, oaks are often representative of places where you see God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said to him, Are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you or go in with you, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Yahweh, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord Yahweh, saying, bring him back into you, with you, into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he, the prophet, went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. And as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord, Yahweh, came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, thus says the Lord, Yahweh, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord Yahweh and have not kept the command that the Lord Yahweh, and I keep saying Yahweh because it's all caps, so I just want you to know when you're listening only and you don't see the all caps. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying it that way. Because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord Yahweh and have not kept the command that the Lord Yahweh your God commanded you, but you have come back and have eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. Mm. And after he had eaten bread and drunk, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. And as he went away, a lion met him on the road and killed him. Mm. And his body was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood beside it. The lion also stood beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown in the road, and the lion standing by the body. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. And when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard of it, he said, it is the man of God who disobeyed the word of the Lord Yahweh. Therefore, the Lord Yahweh has given him to the lion, which was torn, has torn him and killed him according to the word that the Lord Yahweh spoke to him. So he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. And they saddled it. And he went and found his body thrown in the road, and the donkey and the lion standing beside the body. Donkey and the lion just sitting there talking. So what do you think's going to happen next? Don't know. Can't wait to see. We were told to sit here.
Yeah. So we're just waiting another message. Yeah.
The lion had not eaten the body or torn the donkey. That's why I brought it up. This is weird.
Yes.
And the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid the body in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother! And after he had buried him, he said to his sons, when I die, bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying that he called out by the word of the Lord Yahweh against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places that are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. This guy felt bad that he'd lied.
Yeah, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm. And Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way, but made priests for the high places again from among all the people, and any who would, he ordained to be priests of the high places. Hmm. And this thing became sin to the house of Jeroboam, so as to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth.
Hmm. 1 Kings 14. Yeah. At that time, how would we pronounce this? Abijah?
It could be Abiyah.
Abiyah?
Yeah, I don't really know. We would probably say Abijah.
Yeah.
We mispronounce a lot of words.
Abiyah, so. Yeah. Abijah. So it no doubt means, it means my father is Yahweh. That makes sense. Abi, meaning, yeah. At that time, Abiyah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise and disguise yourself, that it not be known that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, well, and then Ahijah, but it's probably Ahiyah.
And Jeroboam is probably Yeroboam or something like that.
I mean,
it's very difficult. We want to pronounce these in an English way.
Right.
So I try not to get bogged down in
it. You get a J-Y transfer, and then you also get a B-V transfer instead of the Negev. Yeah. It's spelled Negeb, properly. But we pronounce it Negev. Ahijah, I'm just going to...
Anglicize it.
The prophet is there who said of me that I should be king over this people. Take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what shall happen to the child. Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim because of his age. And the Lord said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shall you say to her." When she came, she pretended to be another woman. But when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another? For I am charged with unbearable news for you. Go tell Jeroboam, 'Thus says the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you leader over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart, doing only that which was right in my eyes. But you have done evil above all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and metal images, provoking me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring harm upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off Jeroboam every male, cut off from Jeroboam every male, both bond and free in Israel, and will burn up the house of Jeroboam as a man burns up dung until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat, and anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat, for the Lord, Yahweh, has spoken it."
Nobody gets to be buried.
Yeah, which is a... Yeah.
And having the dogs... You know, be the ones eating you, yeah. And the birds. Not good.
Not good. "Arise, therefore, and go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. You won't even get to see him alive again. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something pleasing to the Lord, the God of Israel, in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord, Yahweh, will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam today. And henceforth, the Lord, Yahweh, will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and root up Israel out of this good land that he gave to their fathers, and scatter them beyond the Euphrates." "Because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger." Asherim, we don't really know what those are. They're some sort of carved pole. I have a hunch that I know what they are based on something I've been reading about the cult of Atargatis, which is a Syrian goddess equated with Astarte, Asherah, the consort of Baal.
Yeah.
But we won't discuss what those are here. "And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned and made Israel to sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And as she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him according to the word of the Lord, Yahweh, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the prophet." Now, Tirzah was the, that was the kingdom of the the capital of the northern kingdom. "Now, the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. And the time that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord Yahweh had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there." And we talked before about the name theology, the name being
Hashem.
"His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite." An Ammonite. "And Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins that they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places and pillars and Asherim on every high hill and under every green tree, and there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations that the Lord Yahweh drove out before the people of Israel." Based on what I'm reading about the cosmology of the ancient world, essentially what was happening was that their worship practices, their gods, were infiltrating Israel. And
this began with Solomon.
It began with Solomon, right. I mean, there were no doubt attempts during the time of David, but David was, you know, at least, he wasn't perfect, clearly.
Solomon, mainstream.
Solomon mainstreamed it.
Oh, look.
Look, the king is worshiping.
Yeah, all his wives, they're all hanging out there, so let's go.
Yeah, and...
he's still alive.
Yeah, nothing bad happened to him yet. So this is where it came in. And this is how the gods will do it. I mean, come on, let's face it. As fallen creatures, we humans aren't that difficult to persuade, especially when you can use sex as a lure.
Yeah.
No, hey, the gods say you got to do this. Oh.
Okay. Want your city to be blessed? Want to have kids?
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Yeah. Verse 25, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. We don't know for sure who this is. There are some who think it's Shoshank, the king of from the 22nd dynasty. But there are scholars who argue David Roll, Egyptologist, who was featured in the documentary film Patterns of Evidence, suggests that it was actually Ramses the Great. Mm. But he is among the small minority who think that. Shishak of Egypt came up against Jerusalem. And by the way, this may be the same king that gave one of his daughters as a wife to Solomon.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, yeah. Solomon's dead. Let's go.
Yeah. He took away the treasures of, and especially because Israel's divided now, so he knows, hey, they got that great temple there with all that gold in there, and they're divided. The northern kingdom's mm-hmm. not there. So they've lost half their army or more. So, yeah, it was not nothing personal, just business. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the shields of gold that Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. From gold to bronze in mm-hmm. one generation.
Yeah.
And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, and bear in mind here, the temple has only been there for 45 years at this point, and it's already been looted because of the sins of the people. 40 years since God personally appeared at the grand opening of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And in the space of one generation, two generations, God is permitting enemies to come in and loot the temple because of the sins of the people. We shouldn't be surprised at the state of America today.
Mm.
Yeah. And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, the guard carried them and brought them back to the guard room. Now, the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite, and Abijam, his son, reigned in his place.
Strawberry jam.
Yeah.
Second Chronicles chapter 10. We're going to skip over and mm-hmm. get this from a different point of view. Different reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Come to me again in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you will be good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with a young man who had grown up with him and stood before him. Mm. Again, Game of Thrones bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" And the young man who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs.'"
Typical guys.
Braggart.
Yeah.
"And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered them harshly, and forsaking the counsel of the old men, King Rehoboam spoke to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions."
At least in this account, he left out the euphemism.
Yeah.
That was kind of insulting.
Yeah. Okay. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about. But can you just see social media back then? I don't want to see it.
At least Donald Trump hasn't gone there. Well, wait a minute. During the Republican primaries.
I was just thinking Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by God, and the Lord Yahweh might fulfill his word, which he spoke by, you know, social media version of the Bible would be much different, which he spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Each of you to your tents, O Israel. Look out now to your own house, David." So all Israel went to their tents. And Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam and Hadoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, and the people of Israel stoned him to death with stones.
It makes you wonder. I mean, was he sending him to open negotiations? If so, sending the taskmaster in charge of forced labor to negotiate on your behalf was not a good move.
No.
Politically tone deaf.
My guess is that, could be politically tone deaf, or he just didn't like Hadoram. And King Rehoboam quickly mounted.
It'll be fine.
Just play ball. And King Rehoboam quickly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day.
2 Chronicles 11. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen warriors, to fight against Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord Yahweh came to Shemaiah, the man of God. "Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives. Return every man to his home, for this thing is from me." So they listened to the word of the Lord, Yahweh, and returned and did not go against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem, and he built cities for defense in Judah. He built Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Beth-Zur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marishah, Ziph, Adoraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron, fortified cities that are in Judah and in Benjamin. He made the fortresses strong and put commanders in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. And he put shields and spears in all the cities and made them very strong. So he held Judah and Benjamin. And the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel presented themselves to him from all the places where they lived. Now, this isn't in the account in Kings.
No, it is not.
And so this is a different perspective.
This is why they needed priests up in the north.
Right. And this also contradicts the theory, the 10 tribes theory, that the 10 tribes were sent into exile when the Assyrians came in a couple hundred years down the road and sent the northern kingdom into exile. The Levites had already gone south.
Mm-hmm. So there are three tribes in the Jerusalem Judah area.
Right. Yeah. And there are others because we'll see in other books, other of the prophetical books, mm-hmm. Books written by the prophets, that there are other people of tribes who can still identify the tribe from which they came after the Assyrian conquest of Israel.
Oh, sure.
So, the Levites left their common lands and their holdings and came to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons cast them out from serving as priests of the Lord, Yahweh, and he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat idols.
Goat idols now.
Yes, and for the calves that he had made. Now, goat idols were mentioned in Isaiah. We haven't gotten to that yet, but those were a snare during the time of the 40 years in the wilderness that we read in Isaiah that they were worshiping these goat idols. And it is significant that Dan was just a couple of miles from the Grotto of Pan.
Mm-hmm. A goat.
Yes.
Goat demon.
A satyr type creature. And those who had set their hearts to seek Yahweh, God of Israel, came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem. So again, not all the 10 tribes
exactly
were cast into exile, to sacrifice to Yahweh, the God of their fathers. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, secure, for they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. And it was the fifth year, so they went downhill pretty quickly, the fifth year where Shishak came in and looted the temple.
Yeah.
Rehoboam took as wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and of Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse. That would be his grandfather, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And her great-grandfather. No, Jesse's got to be somebody.
Maybe it's a different Jesse.
Yeah, Eliab, yeah. Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse. And she bore him sons, Jeush, Shemariah, and Zaham. After her, he took Maakah, the daughter of Absalom, who bore him Abiyah, Attai, Zizah, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maakah, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives and concubines. He took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abiyah, the son of Maakah, as chief prince among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. And he dealt wisely and distributed some of his sons through all the districts of Judah and Benjamin in all the fortified cities, and he gave them abundant provisions and procured wives for them.
When the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord, Yahweh, and all Israel with him. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, because they had been unfaithful to Yahweh, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. And the people were without number who came with him from Egypt, Libyans, Sukkim, and Ethiopians.
Libyans!
In their little VW buses.
That's right.
And he took the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, "Thus says the Lord Yahweh, you abandoned me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have abandoned you to the hand of Shishak." Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "Yahweh is righteous." When Yahweh saw that they humbled themselves, the word of Yahweh came to Shemaiah. "They have humbled themselves. I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be servants to him, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of Yahweh and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away the shields of gold that Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. And as often as the king went into the house of Yahweh, the guard came and carried them and brought them back to the guard room. And when he had humbled himself, should be a comma there, the wrath of Yahweh turned from him so as not to make a complete destruction. Moreover, conditions were good in Judah. So King Rehoboam grew strong in Jerusalem and reigned. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord Yahweh had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Remember that when mm-hmm. you see Jerusalem in the news. His mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite, and he did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord Yahweh. Now the acts of Rehoboam from first to last, are they not written in the chronicles of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer? Books that we don't have.
Right.
They were continual wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah his son reigned in his place.
Now, there's a book that is mentioned in earlier in Kings and Chronicles, First Chronicles, called the Book of Gad the Seer, mm-hmm. which has recently come back to light.
And maybe we'll see these books, too, eventually.
Yeah. It's been known for a while that Ken Johnson, a friend of ours, who we will see at the first annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Forum in October, has come up with, has translated the Hebrew document, which came to the West in the 18th century. It was, according to the story And of course, there's only so much you can do with a chain of evidence. But according to the story, Israelites who fled before Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, in the 8th century BC, eventually made their way to Yemen. And they carried with them several documents that they believed were inspired. And of course, since they left in the 8th century BC, they didn't have prophets like Daniel or Ezekiel or Isaiah,
right.
Jeremiah. But they did have some books that are mentioned in the Bible here, that including this book of Gad the seer that we did not have. And they kept it from outsiders because they believed it was, you know, entrusted to them by Yahweh. As the things got bad in Yemen after the rise of Islam, and so they made their way to India, and there is a group there of Jews. Cochin is the name of the town. And a Dutch Jew managed to get a copy of this document where he translated it into German and into English. And there's a copy that apparently he got. And again, this is the 17th, 18th century that made its way to Cambridge in the university in England. And about 25 years ago, Bar-Ilan University in Jerusalem got hold of it, and a scholar there, Meir Bar-Ilan, translated it into English, and Ken Johnson got the Hebrew from Cambridge. Sorry, I kicked her.
Oh, it's okay.
Can I do it again?
Yeah.
Anyway, Ken has put that out there, and that was the interview that I did last week on A View from the Bunker with Ken, the Book of Gad the Seer. So some interesting stuff. Hard to know how far back we can take it. Meir Bar-Ilan, the professor from Bar-Ilan University in Jerusalem, says he dates it to about the first century AD.
Mm-hmm. That's actually not too bad.
No, which still makes it a really interesting document because written by
a Jew. Of
course,
the Russians were hacking back then, so I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
might have changed
news.
It. Yeah, fake news. But it's interesting because some of it does seem to fulfill or point to the type of pre-millennial, pre-tribulational prophecy that Christians would look at, which you would not expect to see from
a non-Christian Jew. Yeah.
So anyway, and speaking of conferences, we want to remind you that there is the Hear the Watchman conference coming up at the end of March, March 31st through April the 2nd. And
we will give you a little teaser.
Oh, yeah.
Friday's Sci Friday.
This coming Sci Friday.
Yeah. What's that, the 20th?
The Sci Friday for January 20th.
January 20th, which is a big day because it's Inauguration Day.
Yes, yes.
So Inauguration Day, Sci Friday, be sure to tune in. We'll just tell you that.
Yeah. It's going to be a wonderful gathering. There's some wonderful speakers there. Of course, Josh Peck and Jake Rahutsky, also from Skywatch TV, like us, but then L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, Pastor Paul Begley, Dr. Michael Lake. I keep forgetting to mention Dr. Lake. Casper McLeod.
I know. He's just one of the dearest men in this whole wide world. Yep. He's so talented.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Mike Spaulding, Josh Tolley, filmmaker Mike Norris.
I know.
We're looking forward to seeing him again. We had a great time when he visited us before.
We did.
Director of America.
We need to get him back up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So a great gathering altogether. Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor Mike Spaulding.
Sam T. Dachson will not be there.
No.
I know that there have been some rumors online. The Russians are the ones that put that out.
Yeah,
that's totally fake news.
They've hacked his personal email, and they've been sharing some of that.
They've hacked his hackles. He's really upset about that.
He's hacked off. So for more information, hearthewatchman.com. And if you're inclined to register early, so you make sure you get there and things don't sell out, if you use the promo code SKYWATCH at checkout, you can save $20 on the registration. And make sure when you look for a room there, this will be at the DFW Lakes, the Hilton DFW Lakes Executive Conference Center. If you book your rooms there, you'll make sure to ask for the Hear the Watchman conference rate because you get a discount on the hotel room.
It's an amazing rate. It's the kind of rate that honestly is just unheard of anymore.
Yeah, $99, which is cheap for Dallas.
Oh, so, it really is.
Yeah. But we look forward to seeing you there, and we really hope that we can it's going to be a great time at Fellowship, and we just hope that you can be a part of it.
And honestly, many of these conferences, when you go there, there are lots of breakout rooms. So you get the main room and lots of breakout rooms where you have to decide what you're going to go watch live. Everybody's in the same room here.
Right. Yeah, that's
you
a big
just,
deal.
It's one event after another in the same room.
Right. And so, yeah, no decisions as to who you're going to, you know, you don't have to choose one over another. You can choose, you know, maybe to go out and get barbecue if there's some, take a break from the speaking, but you don't at least have to choose between two speakers that you really want to see or three.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of years ago in Orlando, I was amazed because there was one talk I was going to give, and Chuck Missler was scheduled in another session right down the hall. And I walked in, and the room I was in was one of the breakout rooms, and it was full.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, in case you're wondering, you know,
let's all go see Chuck.
Chuck's down the hall here, in case, because I was amazed that anybody would want to, you know.
I'm not surprised. Oh, you always bring something new to the table.
Well,
besides, you're cute.
Well, thank Granny you, Kim. You too. Well, we're going to have some fun in Dallas, so we look forward to seeing you there. I'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and for the example of flawed men and women in the Bible, and how you were able to use even them to fulfill your purposes. But also, we see very clearly what happens when we do not. The enemy is there to tempt us and draw us away, to distract us and lure us into impurity and unrighteousness. Father, we pray that you will grant us the wisdom and discernment, as I said earlier, to see it for what it is when it comes, and the strength to resist, even when all those around us are falling and following the path of the enemy. Lord, we pray for your servants who are working in the mission fields to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. We pray for those who are struggling physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually, Lord, that your spirit would guide them, would comfort them, would strengthen them, and would protect them against the enemy. We pray especially for our friend Joe recovering from surgery. And Lord, we just pray for the family of our dear friend Margaret back in Illinois, who has been called home. She is with you, Lord, in no pain and experiencing such joy as we can only imagine. Lord, we know that her family, though, will miss her, and we pray that you give them comfort. Lord, we pray for understanding and wisdom as we read and study your word, and give us the strength, Father, as we go forward to live according to your word and your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Did you mean to say amen?
Did I say amen?
No.
Oh, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, indeed. I thought, he didn't say amen yet.
Brain jumping ahead.
Well, you said it in your head. That's all that matters.
Flip top head.
Yeah, I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your